Hello and welcome to another MyTunes guest from Mark Tiley in the Morning. Somebody you may well have met on your television screens, around about 15, 16 years ago. And he's here on the Isle of Man.
Mark Tiley, the nation's station, Manx Radio.
Another MyTunes on Manx Radio in the Morning with me, Mark Tiley. Now, my guest this week has appeared on your screens, and you may have read his books, but he now lives and works in the Isle of Man. I'm teasing you. Jeremy Spake joins me. Jez, Jeremy, you decide. You said I could use either.
You can indeed, yeah. most of the people who are friends and family and people I work with call me Jez.
Marvellous.
Keep it simple.
Take us back to those incredible days, because when I was looking at the Airport TV series, I'd forgotten just how many episodes. There were 96 episodes. It was huge.
It was. It was actually bizarrely more popular than EastEnders, which is why we moved from a Thursday evening slot to a Saturday evening primetime slot in the second group of series. It's interesting, you know, you walk into an airport and everybody kind of knows roughly what goes on, but they don't really understand the mechanics of the place. So Airport was an opportunity to be in the busiest airport in the British Isles, Heathrow, and to show the travelling public just how challenging they can be.
It was an amazing series, and there's so many characters, and you were just huge. Everyone fell in love with you. Where did you learn to speak Russian?
So I'm actually originating from Russia. I'm half Russian, half English. Leningrad is ultimately my home, so St. Petersburg as we know it today. Grew up bilingual. So
Aeroflot, now there's an interesting airline to work for.
Yeah, they were. Actually, I'm enormously proud of the time I spent with Aeroflot. A lot of people had this impression of, you know, great big burly sort of babushka type stewardesses who shaved their legs with a sickle and kind of walked up and down the cabin being less than gracious. And in actual fact, the Aeroflot that people fly on today is one of the safest airlines in the world, with a very young, modern fleet. Great airline, but misunderstood. I had an absolute ball working for them. They were a really, truly great employer.
And out of that crowd, that all the people involved in that series, have you kept any friendships from those days?
Funnily enough, I keep in touch with almost all of them. One in particular who's an air traffic controller based in Cardiff. He was in the series at Heathrow. But periodically we have a catch up. The two journalists, I often sort of catch up with them once a year just to touch base and see how things are. But they did talk about us all potentially getting back together again for a reunion of some description. For BBC One, and obviously COVID-19 has put a slight sort of blight on that for the moment. But I'm hoping we will get back together, because Heathrow has changed so much since we did that filming.
Absolutely, and it looks like there's more changes to come.
I would say so.
See what happens. The writing, you got into writing books.
Yeah.
You did too, didn't you? Or...
Yeah, I'm in the middle of writing a new book, actually. So I wrote a book about Heathrow Airport and my kind of day-to-day. It was the sort of a week in the life of Jeremy Spake, the Aeroflot man. And it kind of followed an average week for me, you know, missing passengers, missing bags, you know, people not behaving, queues, all those kind of usual things. And then I did a series for BBC called Toughest Job in Britain, which saw me going around the UK and overseas with Brits and the strange job they did. So flew a sewer flusher, which was particularly unpleasant. Turkey farmer, all sorts of weird things, hill farmer. So the book accompanied that series. But I'm currently writing my grandparents' life story. They were both linguists. My grandfather was a major general in the Red Army. My grandmother was a Politburo linguist and translator. So fascinating stories. I'm in the middle of writing that, which will be something completely different for people to read.
Look forward to that. We're going to get on to you coming here tomorrow. But let's have your first track, which is very much tied into airport life.
It is indeed, yeah. I am a massive fan of Passenger, and it just seems appropriate to start with a Passenger song. So this is Young as the Morning, Old as the Sea.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you. wanna leave, aye. Lake in Norway, aye. I wanna walk through Swedish fields of green. I wanna see the forests of Finland, aye. I wanna sail on a boat on the Baltic Sea. I wanna feel the Russian winter, I wanna go to my Polish grandmother's home. I wanna see Hungarian mansions, I wanna walk on the road that leads to Rome. Free as the winds that blow past me, clear as the air that I breathe, to be young as the morning and old as the sea. I wanna lose myself in the Scottish Highlands, the west coast of Ireland, the Cornish breeze. I wanna rest my bones in the Spanish sunshine. The Italian coastline is calling me to be free as the birds that fly past me, light as the fish in the sea, to be wise as the mountains and tall as the trees. Sunny and bright as a sunrise, happy and full as the moon, while I'm fleeting like fireworks fading to sun.
My Tunes guest all this week has got so many stories of people's travelling woes to tell. We'd never get through them all in just one short week. Jeremy Spake, who was all over your telly some years ago in airport and done other things as well, but is now here looking after Ronaldsway Airport in the Isle of Man.
I am indeed, yeah. What a fantastic opportunity it is. The island, I arrived here 2 years ago, and it's a magical place. And when the sun is out, there's nowhere quite like it.
Yeah, when the sun is out, when the wind isn't quite so strong.
It is. And I've discovered kayaking and all sorts of other things that I would never have done had I not come here. So, and the airport itself is a great piece of nostalgic history. And we're just now in the process of modernising it and preparing it for the next 20-30 years.
Now, everybody's had their own sort of problems with the COVID business. What's it been like down there?
It's been hard. Yeah. Definitely really hard, Mark. You know, we were used to seeing sort of 3,000-4,000 passengers a day. And at the height of the lockdown in March and April, some flights were completely empty other than carrying PPE, protective equipment for the hospital. We're seeing the numbers increasing now, which is great news for everybody. Obviously, with level four restrictions currently in place, people are able to leave the island and come back. I'm looking forward to the day that I can welcome EasyJet back and our Aer Lingus partner from Dublin, but certainly the numbers are starting to increase. Aurini and the Guernsey Aer Link has been absolutely fantastic. We've gone back to on a Wednesday and a Sunday to almost near normal operations during the lunch period, which has been really good for the staff.
Well, it's lovely to see those flights coming and going, and I must say we managed to get away for a week in the summer to Guernsey and it was delightful.
Yeah, it's a fantastic little gem in the English Channel. Small island, densely populated for the size of it, but just a really quaint, nice small version of the Isle of Man, I'd say.
How big a blow was losing Flybe? Because I remember walking past the airport sort of the day after they'd gone, and traffic could almost stop then in certain times of day.
Yeah, I think Flybe was a massive dent to regional airports across the whole of the British Isles because they were the backbone of a lot of high frequency travelling. So we were just in the process of getting a new airline on board, and then COVID hit us. So I'm confident that once we get to a more freedom of travel situation with the borders, we should see incremental changes to the routes and new services coming back. But yeah, Flybe was a definite knock, not just for the island, but for regional flying, full stop.
But we were talking earlier before we sat down here, you're confident that airlines will want to come back and support us?
They absolutely want to come back. We have a daily dialogue with the likes of Logan Air, Stobart Air, who operate Aer Lingus. I was talking to EasyJet just yesterday, and they're very keen to re-establish links to the island, as we're as keen to get them back. The challenge will be the borders, which is, as I said to you while we were chatting off air, it's a devil you do, devil you don't. It's one of those things where if we leave it too long, it's going to have an impact on the economy. It's just a case of when we're ready to cope with any changes in COVID sort of pandemic fever, as it were, it's then a case of saying, right, yeah, good, we can open the borders, we're confident, we've got capability in the hospitals, but those airlines will definitely come back.
Well, that is very good news. Let's have your second musical choice. What have we got?
So we've got Coldplay and Ooh. Clocks, as we're always watching the clock at the airport.
My Tunes on Manx Radio for this Wednesday. And my guest all this week, Jeremy Spake, Jez to his mates. We're being quite formal. We'll call him Jeremy. Who is a deputy director of the Isle of Man Airport here at Ronald's Way. You must have seen all of life's quirkiness in an airport situation, Jeremy.
Truly, Mark, truly. I mean,
give us some of the daftest stuff.
So I guess animals is always a great place to start. So we actually had one not that long ago at Ronald's Way where somebody had got the cat in a trolley bag, thinking that was quite okay. And you just, you know, pop the cat in the trolley bag, take it out to the airport.
I thought it was an accident.
Well, it kind of was an accident, but it had basically gotten into the bag, curled up, and it only got discovered at the point of it going through the x-ray machine. But it does remind me of the day in Terminal 2 at Heathrow. I had a Russian lady had come over and she'd bought herself a Chihuahua puppy and thought it was quite normal just to tuck it into a bag, take it through security and pop it onto the aeroplane. Because in Russia, if you travel domestically, it used to be quite normal to see somebody sitting with their animals on their lap. So even boxes of chickens or the odd goat you might get in the old days. So yeah, it was just unfortunate. This cat had taken up residence in a piece of hand luggage and found its way all the way to Ronald's Way. And I started laughing because I just imagined it was somebody's way of trying to get out of paying for the charges to take the cat normally. But it was just a stone. Away, God love it.
What about other bits of crazy luggage and people trying to get stuff onto planes?
So one of the fascinating games I always used to play when the BBC were at Heathrow with me was where are the passengers from? And I usually could tell which airline a passenger was travelling on by looking at either the contents of their luggage or the shoes they were wearing. And one day I said, I wouldn't be at all surprised. It was a Royal Air Maroc flight to Casablanca. I said, I wouldn't be at all surprised if we see a kitchen sink and an engine block. And we saw both in that very day and they couldn't quite believe it, the things that people take away with them. But I had a Russian airline crew turned up with a dishwasher and a tumble dryer that they wanted to just pop onto the aircraft as a piece of baggage. So yeah, it's fairly normal behavior in some parts of the world.
Brilliant. And I know musicians often travel with large, like a cellist having to book a seat for the cello.
Oh yeah, that's a must have, because you normally a really good quality cellist will always want their musical instrument in the cabin with them, so they generally book a seat to put the cello on in the cabin with them. So that's quite a common or garden event. I think the worst I ever saw was a young Indian student. He was returning to Delhi via Moscow, and he's a medical student, and he had 700 kilos of baggage, and he'd only got a 23 kilo allowance on his ticket, and he was trying to work out how he was going to pay the charge. So I said to him, we'll be a little bit creative and we'll see what we can come up with as a solution. So he went off, and being a medical student, thought long and hard about how he was going to overcome it, and he came back with 8 hats, 4 pairs of trousers on, 7 jumpers. He got books and shoes and things hanging off of his neck, and he says, is it okay for me to travel dressed like this? And the BBC were filming, couldn't quite believe it. But yeah, people do the strangest things when they travel.
I bet. How about media now? Because I mean, you absolutely all over our screens for so many years, and we all got to know you through the television. Is it something you're still keeping up?
Yeah, I mean, I do the odd thing just to keep my hand in and to remind myself what it's like on the other side of the fence, much like doing this. But we're talking about a new series for BBC One that's airports around the world and the challenges that they currently face. So we're in advanced discussions with them about that. So that's likely to start being filmed next year, because obviously the last 8 or 9 months have been truly devastating for travel. You know, people's desire to get to places has dwindled for obvious reasons. So we're going to be looking at some airports around the world where you get high concentrations of British travellers, and the idea will be that we'll go and help reignite and reinvigorate tourism if we can.
I'm going to pick up on those airports around the world again tomorrow, because I want to do your top 3 at least airports around the world. Let's have the next bit of music.
So the next music for me is The Killers and Humans, because,
ooh, yeah,
you know, we often forget that when we're in an airport, there are humans trying to help us.
I did my best to notice when the call came down the line. Up to the platform of surrender, I was brought but I was kind. And sometimes I get nervous when I see an open door close.
It's our last My Tunes of the Week with my guest, Jeremy Speight, Deputy Director of the Isle of Man Airport. 2 years now or so you've been here?
Yeah, over 2 years. Absolutely loving it. The island really is a magical gem. I used to come here fairly frequently to see the dearly departed Sir Norman Wisdom, who was a good friend of mine. We shared the same agent. And so I used to come fairly frequently to see Norman. But living here is very different. You see the island in a different light, particularly as you traverse through the seasons. And Adrian Cowan, who's obviously the island's senior Met officer, he actually reports to me. And ironically, the sun always shines when he's on annual leave. So I kind of have to be clever and time my own leave to coincide when AD's on holiday so I get some sunshine.
Get some good weather. Was it just an advert you saw, or did somebody say, hey, how about this? How did that happen?
Yeah, so I was actually based down at Southend looking after Aer Lingus Regional in Europe, and somebody happened to mention to me that the Isle of Man was looking for a new deputy airport director and said you might be just the person they need. So I got in touch with Anne Reynolds, Director of Ports, and came and saw Anne, and we're now working in partnership to modernise the airport in as much of a Manx way as we possibly can, because I think it's really important to celebrate the great things about the island. You know, I'm tenacious about my history and my upbringing, and I think it's really great that people are tenacious about all the things that are great about the Isle of Man. And there are some truly great things. I mean, just for me, discovering the coastline in a kayak has been so cathartic and so relaxing, particularly at a time when we're all struggling with our own mental well-being, being kind of in a semi-lockdown scenario. So getting into my kayak and going out of Laxey, I generally go out with the head of the Coast Guard, Kev Scott, really great guy, but he never seems to quite get the tides right for the head of the Coast Guard, which is often a point of great hilarity for the two of us. Absolutely love kayaking around the island, because every section of coast is completely different.
Yes, I totally get that, because you've got cliffs and you've got beaches, you've got this, and it is a many worlds in one.
It truly is, yeah. Absolutely.
Really, really beautiful variety.
That's a great way of describing it.
Airports come in all shapes and sizes. You mentioned, you teased us with a series that hopefully will come together next year. Give us a few of your favourite airports around the world.
So one of my favourite airports is Vienna. And the reason I love Vienna, I mean, the Austrians are very efficient folk, but Vienna just works. You know, if you're in transit, I often use Vienna to head towards Eastern Europe. So you normally transfer in most airports in an hour, hour and a half. You can do it in 20 minutes in Vienna. Seamlessly, and your bag will make it. It's an absolutely delightful airport to be in. Modern, crisp, the staff are generally quite helpful. The flip side of that is Paris Charles de Gaulle, which I absolutely cannot stand. It's a mess. It's very user-friendly, I would say. It's not a great place to go. Amsterdam Schiphol is one of my favourite airports for similar reasons to Vienna. Very quick, nice and easy. But my absolute favourite airport in the entire world, for probably all the wrong reasons, is Barra in the Hebrides. It's a very tiny terminal building, but it's the only place in the world where you can land a scheduled service on the beach. So the aircraft actually lands on a cockle shell beach, and the runway is actually swept on a regular basis by the airport crew. But Barra is a truly beautiful island, and it's just such a quirky place to land in a twin otter, in a tiny little terminal building, and they do an absolutely fantastic bacon butty if you're there early enough in the morning.
Sounds good to me. You know, one thing I've never done, I bet you have, I've never been in a flying boat.
Oh, now that is a definite must. You should, if you get the chance to do that, because there are a number of modern versions. Yeah. Dornier, the German aircraft company, make a seaplane. But you can also fly in Scotland. There's a seaplane service from along the Clyde that goes up to Loch Ness and various other places using a Cessna Caravan. Really good, a brilliant experience, well worth doing.
I'll try and sort that out. Let's have your final piece of music. What's it going to be?
So this is a bit of an emotional one for me. This is U2, and it's With or Without You, in memory of my late wife.
Oh, Jeremy, well, thank you so much for the week.
No, it's been an absolute pleasure, Mark, and I look forward to seeing both you and all the other people on the island coming back through the airport really soon.
Many thanks to Jeremy Spake, Jez, for being my guest on My Tunes here at Manx Radio. Keep coming back to manxradio.com for more podcasts from me, Mark Tiley, and loads of different genres. Talk to you again soon.